Doesn't that computer know who you
don't
are?
Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is me.
A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same
I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my
onto
friend?
A Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk.
Here we go. There we go. Now it's Tech Talk. Trying to.
I was wondering what this was.
I've been wondering too. As I came in and saw a face I haven't seen in quite some time. Dave is back with us this week. That's Dave Sparky Saganaki. You may recall him. He's been.
I'm a special guest these days.
He is. He chose not to take a long trip and instead stuck around to hang out with us.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
It's good to be here. Good to be back.
Good to have you here.
Sorry,
absolutely.
I've been away, but it's been for good causes.
And I've got this cord on this thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of cord on those headphones.
Incredibly long. Yeah. Wow. Wow. I'm rolling over it in my chair here.
You could go anywhere you want with those headphones.
Yeah, I really, really could. I could make it to Canada with those, probably. Yeah. I'd be all right.
There you go.
I'm just gonna
often do. I take them to Canada.
You can't take them up to Canada.
Plugged in, yeah.
So to, yeah, and let's see, the French-Canadian, for your paramour, right? You could call that she's your paramour.
Yes, she's more than a paramour.
More than a paramour. All right. I'm not really sure what that word means exactly. I've heard it in context.
I figure I can't go wrong saying she's more than that.
Well, so. It's excellent. We're sad that you're not able to be with her, but happy that you're with us.
Yes.
So welcome back to Dave. This, of course, is Michael Kassler, Tech Talk Kassler. This is the Tech Talk show on WRLR.
I'm Dave Sparky Saganaki, as you said earlier.
Yes, indeed. And we're going to have Jay. He's got to have a nickname, too.
Jay, what's that? The website he was, or his column? What was his blog?
Oh, he was a... Was it just called Geek Trivia?
Trivia, that's it. J Trivia Garmin.
Garmin.
Yeah.
Garmin.
Or Geek Trivia Garmin. Geek Either
you
one.
Know, maybe we'll just let him choose his own. I'll put that on him today.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't really choose your own nickname.
He should have his own nickname. Well, yeah, that's true. It's you know, but that's okay. We don't have to do. We don't have to be traditional. We can do things the way we want to.
Hey, did you talk about social networking last week?
You know, I did. I haven't seen the movie, so I didn't really talk about it at all. I'm not sure. You know, if it's any Bish or the station owner loved it. He just thought it was fantastic.
I don't think he saw it. He was just going on the reviews.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay. Oh, I assume that he.
I've seen it.
Oh, did you? Did you? Yeah. What did you think?
It was. You know, I was. My expectations were very low.
Mm-hmm.
I'd seen a couple of other movies recently that I was very disappointed. I saw The American with George Clooney.
I heard that was very disappointing.
Well, the main reason is that the protagonist was not very sympathetic. And then I saw The Town with the new Ben Affleck movie and about bank robbers in Charleston.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Charleston. Yeah. So, and I also was very disappointed in that. But both these movies are excellently done, by the way. They're very, very nicely done, but they're just not an emotional, intellectually and emotionally engaging. They were not.
Okay.
So,
okay.
And so here we're going to see. On the face of it, no pun intended, I thought, well, here's a movie about the founding of Facebook. I'm not that crazy about Facebook, actually, or wasn't before the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was an incredibly compelling movie. Very engaging, very well done. And it was valuable on so many different levels. It was very entertaining. It really stimulated the mind about what, you know, and everybody's got different. This is a great topic for discussion. Really, people run out and see this movie. It's really good. I recommend it to you, Michael. But the big thing about it is, you know, I've always been concerned about building community when I was, I was involved in churches.
Mm-hmm.
We were always involved in trying to get people to connect in a good and new and interesting ways. Here at the radio station, we always try to do that, get people to connect, and using the radio is a community radio station. How do people connect, or how do we get information out to the community so that it's a better place to live? So here's the notion of an online community, social networking, and I believe after watching the movie that Facebook is really an evolutionary step in people learning to connect in new ways.
Mm-hmm.
However, that's only a small piece of the puzzle, I think.
Yeah.
I think you're talking about an abstract connection as opposed to real, real connection. But I think it was a big step forward, and it's a very human story, and at the end, I think a bit of a tragedy. It's worth seeing, I think.
I'm excited to see it myself. It's one of those, you know, buy it, rent it, burn it kind of ideas. Is I'm not sure, you know, my wife and I have so little time to actually see movies out in the theater that it's one of those where we'll have to make sure when it comes on TV, you know, we'll DVR it, or I'll find some way to get it one way or the other. Maybe I'll finally sign up for that Netflix.
It's worth it. On every level, it's a good human story. It's a great geek story. And it raises great philosophical and social issues.
Well, and I think there's a couple of things that would be interesting to see about it too. One is, you know, people tend to have this idea that, you know, Facebook has been ruined by the, you know, that the high-minded ideals have dissolved into this morass of consumerism and pettiness and so on. But the reality of it, from what I hear, is that pettiness and consumerism and greed and desire and avarice and everything else was all there from the very conception of it. And really the high-mindedness was just put on it by its users. You know, now the security is kind of falling apart. And I see that happen with a lot of these, like you talk to these communities. I think what happens is, and not just social communities or not just internet-based communities, but all communities, I think generally they wind up being started by kind of a core of individuals who have a specific vision or idea or thought in mind. And that works really well, and it gets a lot of excitement generated about it, and you have these, what can be these high-minded communities develop. But eventually, if they become popular enough, it turns out that, you know what, people are just people. And it doesn't matter how you've created the community. If you've got enough people, well, now you're going to have businesses in. And if you've got enough people, now you're going to have people who are trying to take advantage of certain aspects of the community. And you've got these things that have to be dealt with. And so it becomes very prosaic from these very high-minded ideas. You wind up in this very prosaic state of all of a sudden having to deal with, gosh, we need more chairs, you know,
more commodes or more.
Yeah.
Or, you know, any of the mundane nonsense that.
Yeah.
Partly I think that's what's missing actually from online communities is having to deal with those struggles. And that's what brings us closer. And I wasn't really paying that much attention to the growth of Facebook. But there was this astounding fact at the end of the movie. It's 500 million people now, mm-hmm. and the company is valued at $25 billion.
Yeah, yeah.
That's an amazing idea. To have it manifest in such a way that I think that demonstrates the yearning people have to connect.
Yeah, yeah. What hit me, when that struck me, how large it is, was I was reading something Zuckerberg was talking about removing some feature from Facebook, and I can't remember what it was. He was going to remove some feature, something to do with lists and groups, and said, well, it really only less than 5% of the users use this feature anyways, so it's not valuable to keep it. And the person writing the article commented, maybe it's only 5%, but that's over 25 million people
yeah.
that are using that feature on a daily basis.
And the movie does a great job. It's with any biopic, you're going to get distortions or omissions or whatever. But they portray Mark. Is it Zuckerberg or Zuckerman? I can't remember.
Oh, you might be right. I thought it was Zuckerberg, but maybe it is Zuckerman.
Yeah.
No, I think
the guy's got a lot
Zuckerberg.
Of money. Let's not offend him. You know, yeah. It'd be nice to get him on the show. scan hope of that. Of course, you've gotten incredible catches in terms of interview subjects in the past. So who knows what'll happen.
He won't friend me. though. I think
he just might be backlogged. I think he might just be backlogged. He doesn't know who you are yet.
That's true.
Movie's coming out soon. Yeah. Then he'll know. Your biopic is due to hit the store in a minute. It's going straight to video, I heard, you know, but...
Well, yes.
DVD. You're going to DVD. Like, one of those little DVDs, those little tiny ones.
Oh, well, I've got one of those in my bag, as a matter of
fact. Yeah. So he's not... A person that's emotionally intelligent in terms of making connections with people, according to the movie, not according to me. I never met the guy. I have no idea. But they portray him. In fact, the kind of the hunger and drive to create Facebook came out of his inability to make connections in real life. And so therefore, that's the leadership of this company and this movement, really, to connect, is being led by a guy that doesn't know how.
Yeah.
In some ways. I mean, he's got all these great ideas for programming and what needs to be on a page in order to make it compelling for people to connect with each other online. But it's like a drop off of a sheer cliff of where do you go after that?
Yeah.
It's like once you make the connection, then how do you build it? And so you can't. It doesn't sound like you can rely on his judgment to take it further.
Yeah, you know, and I think that kind of brings up a good point, though, too, with some of these companies that are so incredibly successful, and you see, and I don't know if this comes out in the movie or not, but you see the amount of work, hours, effort, you know, everything that has to go into basically absorbing your entire life to make these successful companies. And it's occurred to me many times in the past that you can't really be a successful person and be an ultra successful entrepreneur, businessman, person at the same time. That there's, and I may be completely off base here, but it feels anyway to me that there's something intrinsically kind of broken about these people that they're trying to fix, and the way that they're trying to fix it is through this experience of creating these megalithic and extremely successful companies. And thank heavens for that. You know, we wouldn't have some of these things like Facebook if you didn't have people that were willing to completely throw their lives out the window to make them happen. You wouldn't have companies, even, you know, Microsoft, Apple. Look at Steve Jobs. You know, talk about a publicly broken person, but obviously very, very successful at what he does.
Yeah. Well, there's no such thing as perfect human beings. I mean, unless they're virtual.
Yeah. Yes. That's why I live my life online.
Yeah. You know, none of your online friends smell bad. You know, that's the good thing about it. You know?
Either that or they all smell bad in the same way, depending on which way you look at it.
So that's the challenge. It's like, I think we all get caught up in the excitement and the success of something like Facebook, and say, oh my goodness, you know, 500 million people, that's unprecedented. $25 billion, that's remarkable. But does it really further us in terms of connection? Mm-hmm. Beyond you know, this on one particular level of existence, yeah. One very rarefied intellectual level of existence.
Yeah, and of course there's a lot of anecdotal evidence. I can only speak for myself, but I know that there's people that I've connected with that without some medium such as Facebook likely would not have made that connection again.
Right.
It's not people. I haven't made new connections so much as I've made connections with people that I had in my past that I wouldn't have reconnected with. Right. So I think, though, that the newer generation is more comfortable with it and are making those new connections from people. And that's, of course, we've had Perry Aftab on many times talking about the dangers of that, especially for the younger generation.
Right.
Because, you know, again, you know, those people wind up being people no matter what the medium is. And you got to watch out for the scam artists and the stranger danger and all the other good stuff, too.
Right. Yeah.
So, of course, as we're talking, I'm hearing my phone going chirp, 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 and it's screaming at me because there's a whole bunch of Facebooks coming in. I got to take a break, folks. Got to check the Facebook.
That's more important. That's more important than the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Than the listeners.
These are real people. No, actually, you know what? It's from, there's some Twitters from Customer Jones.
Uh-oh.
She's saying,
who taught her to tweet? Suzanne, just kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
Just kidding, love you.
She said she doesn't recognize who that is.
Oh. So, and that's the great thing about Facebook and Twitter. It makes it easier to stalk, you know.
Absolutely. And in fact, that's one of the bigger stories with Facebook was the new groups feature that they've got, which makes it real easy to stalk people. And not only that, but makes it so your friends can assign you to groups that other people who don't even know you can then follow your messages. And so again, we've got another kind of security issue going on with Facebook.
Yeah. Well, it's all part of the evolution of the internet. And, I was listening to something last night, and an author was just tore into the internet. He said, I used to be a reporter. I used to be an author. Now I'm a content provider. He said, being an author and a journalist paid a lot better than being a content provider.
Yeah. Well, and there's a fantastic book by Robert Sawyer. He's a fiction novelist. We should actually bring Jay on to talk about Sawyer. I'm sure he knows. He's probably familiar. Actually,
that's about that time.
Yeah. It's almost about that time. You know what? Why don't I bring him on? I'll bring him on and see if he recalls. The name of the book is Frame Shift. I'll see if he's read it and how it describes the death of privacy. Basically, let's see here if I've got the
we've had a few people on talking about how privacy is eroding and that everything you do is recorded now, and there were folks that actually thought that was a good thing.
Well, it's got some positive effects. There's no question about it. It's just balancing those with the negative.
Well, just
personal effects. It's got benefits, social effects, and negative personal effects. Ah, good morning.
Jay.
Hey.
Hi, Jay.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Do you recognize that voice there?
Geez, you take 9 or 10 days off right away. People give you a hard time.
I was going to change the name of the show so he couldn't find us, you know.
Hi, Jay.
Well, I know we're
calling. How you doing, Dave?
Good.
We're actually calling you like a minute or two earlier than we normally do because I had a conversation we were starting that I thought would be good to bring you in on. I'm not sure if you have any knowledge of this, but I thought you'd be more likely to than pretty much anybody else I could think of. We were talking about the death of privacy and Facebook and all this business, and I was remembering a book I read a little while ago by Robert Sawyer, and I think it was the one he wrote called Frame Shift, that essentially it posited this idea of using quantum entanglement to remotely view individuals, and that it became so cheap and so common and so easy that it got to a point where there not only was there no privacy, there was no expectation of privacy, and the younger generation by the end of the book, just had no, there was no private or public space. It was all just space. And am I right with that book title? I'm pretty sure it was Frame Shift, but it could have been one of the other ones.
That sounds right. But it might be part of the Triple W series, the Wake and something else. I'm not as up on Sawyer as I want to be. You know, he sort of went on my list after Flash Forward got made into a TV show, and I've not had a chance to really dive into it. Although that particular concept is pretty pervasive in science fiction these days. Charles Stross, my favorite sci-fi author, won a Hugo for his novella called Palimpsest, where it's about time travelers, and one of the side points of the story is that when you get to the end of history, they sort of define civilization by ubiquitous surveillance, because that just makes it so easy to do research. We just go to the end of a civilization, get all of their records, and dump it into our library at the end of time. And the part of their history that was pre-ubiquitous surveillance, we don't even care about. It's irrelevant.
I haven't read that one by him yet. I got on a Strauss binge for a while, and then I kind of had to put him to the side. You know how it gets when you read too much of a single author, and you start being able to kind of predict what the next phrase is that they're going to write down, and you're like, you know, I've read this sentence 3 times in the last 2 books. I don't need this sentence again.
Yes, well, you just described me with Robert Heinlein at about age 17. So I totally understand what you mean.
Yeah. And Hyland's, of course, is a great, he's just an iconic figure. But yeah, I went back and reread some of the, some of his books, and it's a little tough. It's tough slogging through it. It just doesn't have the same immediacy that it did at 15, 16, and 17 for some reason. So.
Yeah, funny how that works.
Yeah.
Try to go back and watching some of the old cartoons from your youth that you remember being really awesome, and then you see them now, it's like, wow, did someone drop me down the flight of stairs when I was young?
Yep. Yeah, we had that recently with one of my well-beloved shows. What is it called? It's called, it's with John Candy and Dan Aykroyd, and they go up north for this camping adventure. And I just remember loving this movie and just thinking it was the most hilarious thing ever. And so I got it for my kids because we were going to go up north. And we watched it, and it was just the most stultifyingly boring thing I've ever seen. And there's like, you know, five really funny bits in it that are good, but not worth the hour and 40 minutes that it takes to get to them. So
that movie is called The Great Outdoors.
That's
it.
It
was also Annette Bening's first film appearance, believe it or not.
Oh,
I have endured that more than once myself.
Really?
And you bring up the classic bits from there, the guy with the guy who gets hit by the lightning, and there's the big 100, the steak that he eats, and it just, you know, those bits on their own are just hysterical, but the movie taken as a whole is just so tough to get through.
Well, you see, I consider this, as long as we're digressing horribly, that's what I call a YouTube-friendly movie, in that, there's all these classics that, like, TNT and TBS run in over and over and over again that no one actually likes, but that have, like, 90-second to 3-minute segments that are really great that everyone remembers from YouTube. And you can link to those at any point and think, that's an awesome movie. Then you go watch the rest of the movie and, like, what am I thinking? That's like the entire Mike Myers movie, like, setup. Like, yeah. Mike Myers doesn't actually make good movies. He just makes good YouTube segments and then sprinkles them into like 90 minutes of paycheck grabbing.
Yep. That's exactly right. And, you know, I think that's a new thing that works. So, you know, it's kind of changed the way that you can market movies too. It used to be you had, 3 minutes total on a preview to market the movie. Now they can take, if you've got 10 minutes of good quality anywhere in the film, you know, taking that and putting it out on YouTube, and you can generate at least some viewers for it.
Yes, and now if you go to the internet forums, because clearly that's always a good idea, when someone releases a trailer for a film, the first point of debate is, have we seen all the cool stuff in the trailer, or is there actually more?
Yes.
Because you don't know. That's a big question now. It's like, yeah, you could make a great trailer out of anything. You know, I remember the trailer for Phantom Menace being really compelling, and then I saw the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, man. Speaking of movies and stuff, I was that was one of the cooler things in San Francisco when I was there for the Oracle Open World. Of course, you know, Larry Ellison, the owner of Oracle, he had a little walk-on part in Iron Man 2, and also too is supposedly one of the people that Robert Downey Jr. modeled himself after for the part of Stark. And so at the conference, they have basically the setup from within Stark's lab. When you look on the back wall, there's the four Iron Man suits, and that was set up right outside of the conference rooms, which was pretty neat. I thought that was pretty cool. I enjoyed seeing that, and they look very impressive even up close. They look like legit hunks of metal.
Well, you know, it's easy to make props look good. I feel pretty confident that Iron Man armor would not run on Oracle software.
No, probably not. Although Larry's got cloud in a box now, so he's,
You guys know that's not a real suit, right?
Wait a second.
Quiet, you. We're talking here.
Hey, well, we're getting closer,
what
though.
What software would it run on, guys?
It would run on Stark 2.7, Stark base. No, you know, and actually, though, it was interesting. One of the news articles that I brought up that I was going to discuss this week, and I posted this on Facebook. A lot of people posted it on Facebook and Twitter and all over the place, was that there's some now actually practical and affordable prosthetic, like an e-suit, they're calling it, something along those. I don't have the article up in front of me, but an e-suit of some sort that helps paraplegics walk. They can actually stand and walk. It moves the limbs in a very natural feeling way for them. They have to use crutches in order to keep their balance appropriately, but they can, the people's responses that have used it are that it's just an awe-inspiring ability to be able to move like a real person would move, or, you know, like a person who hasn't been affected in this way. And it came out of some military work that had been done. The Hulk, human something lifting, I don't know what it is, but it was to help soldiers carry loads of over 200 pounds or more over uneven terrain, and has developed from that. I'm sure you must have seen something about this as well, Jay.
I saw that, and I saw the military variant that is supposedly supposed to go in theater within 2 years, and I forget which military contractor. I think General Dynamics, but don't quote me on that. No, it's Raytheon. It's an actual exosuit. Now, it looks like a Tinker Toy set you strap on, and it doesn't have self-contained power. You're tethered, but it can let an average person, quote, weightlessly lift up to 400 pounds. And, like, the application they're talking about is for logistics loading and unloading, so they can put four guys in a squad of these things and tether them to a power source, and they can, you know, load missiles onto planes faster, or load and unload transport vehicles faster, because they can, you know, they can walk and move at regular speed, but their load capacity goes up so much faster. But they can't make this, like, well, A, it's very bulky, so you're not going to move, you know, out in the field with them, but also they can't be separate from a power source, because there's just no battery that's light enough and small enough to fit on a person that could make that practical. But, like, they had the dude who played Agent Coulson in all the Marvel films, and I'm blanking on the actor's name, like, they brought him in for the video demo and had him try it out, and he's lifting, like, 300-pound barbells, like, effortlessly with this thing. It's insane.
Wow. Starship Troopers, man, we're almost there. All we need are some bugs. Yep. And
you guys,
it's coming. I know Dave's laughing about the suits, but
I'm gonna need one of those. I could use one right now.
Man, it puts all those hours I've spent at the gym to waste. All I needed to do was invest $50,000 in one of, which is the crazy thing to me, is that these exo suits that they've got for the walking, anyways, they're saying they're hoping to come out with a commercial version that's going to be around $50,000, which, if you've the comparison was against some of the really high end wheelchairs, they're about the same cost anyways, $50,000-$60,000 or so. The ones that I saw, now, they didn't have the ability to lift huge weights, but they were saying that the goal they have is that they would be, you know, you would have a battery pack, but you could charge the battery pack overnight, and that it would allow for about 6 hours of sustained use before it needed to be charged again, which is pretty darn decent. I mean, that's not too bad for somebody that hasn't been able to walk for 10 years. I think that 6 hours of walking is probably pretty fantastic. So
I would agree. Just remember that retail cost is not total cost of ownership.
Okay.
There is upkeep and maintenance. It's different. So before you go out and drop $50,000 on this new toy, just bear in mind, you're probably going to need a robotics engineer and a whole workshop ready to now, this is not necessarily a barrier for people like us, but just keep that in mind when you're pitching the wife on this.
Yeah, you may have a point. Boy, you know, it sure would be a lot easier to get that work done around the house with one of these things, but yeah.
Come with some attachments, you know, like a lawnmower and
yeah, you know, a barn raising would be you could be a one man job these days. So of course the Amish would probably not be one of your first.
I don't, yeah. I don't.
Well, anyways, Jay, so yeah, we've run the gamut of, or gamut, excuse me, of Flash Forward and Robert Sawyer and Exoskeletons and Highland. So I guess it's time to get down to some actual business. We had a geek trivia question from last week that of course I don't have up. I'm sure as soon as you mention it, I'll recall. I remember that Customer Jones, I think, answered it pretty much immediately. In fact, she's tweeting me again now here, probably telling me that that she did. What was the geek trivia answer and question from last week again?
Well, we're getting up, you know, to the anniversary, the 105th anniversary, actually, around about of Einstein's energy equivalence paper.
Yep.
And so, you know, just to give it a different little spin on it, we asked, according to E equals MC square, how many kilocalories or food calories is there in 1 gram of matter? If you could actually convert all of the mass equivalent energy in a single gram of any substance into food energy, how much energy would that be? And the answer is 21.5 billion with a B kilocalories. That's a lot of 21.5 billion calories per gram.
Wow. Now how, and you probably don't know this, but my next question would be, well then how many kilocalories of energy is put out from a 1 megaton explosion?
Well, I don't have that in front of me. What I can tell you is that the little boy bomb we dropped on Nagasaki fissioned almost precisely 1 gram of plutonium into energy. What the process does is you force fission and it creates lighter elements that are mass about almost exactly 1 gram less, and that resulted in 21 kiloton explosion. Okay, so 21.5 billion kilocalories is about 21,000 tons of dynamite.
Wow.
Okay. So.
Man, and you think, we have an energy problem, and then you put those numbers out there, and you think, God, there's got to be some way to latch into that, you know?
Yeah. It's almost, we kind of hope we don't, because, you know, an 8-ounce slice of cheesecake, not counting the raspberry drizzle and chocolate ganache, is like 50 trillion kilocalories. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unreal. How much?
You think
so? That's why my ass is so big.
That's though. Right. You think about that going right to your thighs. Wow. I knew it was going to be high. That's got at least an order of magnitude or two larger than I had expected, though, and I was trying to guess pretty high too. Wow. Yeah.
So what's important here is that we not find a way to fission a Twinkie, because that could be just Armageddon right there. We can find a way to actually just liberate all the mass energy in a Twinkie. We've solved the energy crisis and probably wiped out most of Central America.
So don't put your foil wrapped Twinkies into the microwave.
No.
That could be what happened to Krakatoa. So what should we be thinking? That was fantastic. But what should we be thinking about next week?
Well, we're also getting up on the anniversary of Spaceship One's qualifying flights as the winner of the Ansari X Prize. So we're going to do some Spaceship One trivia. Spaceship One is technically classified as a glider by the FAA, mostly because they didn't know what else to call it, because it does glide on the way down. There was really no preceding sort of classification for it kind of passenger craft. They had rockets and they had passenger aircraft, and they didn't have a rocket passenger aircraft to really classify it. But they did give it a regular registry number. Spaceship One's FAA registry number is N386KF, and it's an inside joke. So what is the inside joke in Spaceship One's aircraft registry number?
Ooh, you know what? I know this one. I'd never heard that before. I had no idea, but I know exactly what that is. I will not share it on air. But that is a
that'd
great,
be nice not to ruin be, that is Jay's great, entire well, shtick.
I just had every once in a while I think, hey, you know what? I am a geek, and this is one of those times. I actually knew those numbers right off the top. As soon as you started them, I was like, I know what that is. That is a great question, though. That is an awesome question. I know I'm gonna get from some of the true geeks, those of you looking to confirm your geek cred and all that out there. I know I'm gonna get an email or a Twitter or a Facebook from you. TechTalk@WRLR.FM. Make sure and shoot that to me, and we'll share them on air. Especially if you're not Customer Jones, we'll definitely share it on air. Because Suzanne, I know you know this one. So. Oh man, no, that is awesome. I can't wait to hear the backstory about it next week as well. Jay, I know you're out and traveling and with family, so I won't keep you any longer. But we definitely appreciate having you around. I know people can go to jgarman.net, and we're getting closer to conglomeration.info. Is that the place to go for info about the upcoming sci-fi event?
That is correct. It'll be held over Easter weekend in my hometown of Louisville, Kentucky. So we'd love to have you there. I am feverishly trying to track down a guest of honor. So we'll announce that as soon as I get somebody to say, yeah, I'd love to come there, besides you guys, because, you know, you guys are cool, but everybody knows you.
Yeah, I was going to say, Dave is still available. He's he's got nothing going on that weekend. Well, I am hoping to come down, though. I am still hoping to come down. Like I said, the wife hasn't absolutely shook her head and said no yet. So there is a possibility that the Kidlins and the Kassler family will make the trek down to Louisville again.
And what was the website for that again?
Conglomeration.info.
Okay, gotcha. Yep.
Yeah, and I'll put it up on our blog press as well. Again, and of course, you can get links to that from jgarman.net, as always, with all sorts of other cool stuff and everything going on with Jay on there as well. And Jay, thanks again. We'll let you get back to the family, and always appreciate having you on.
Glad to do it, boys. See you next week.
All right, take care.
Take care, Jay.
Bye.
What a guy.
Oh, man, it's awesome. It's awesome. I love having Jay on. It was great. Well, he was a real lifesaver while you were
I'm sure.
out of town, too. Yeah. So
I'll be out of town next week, by the way.
Oh, man. Maybe I'll just take that week off, too. I don't know.
Or you could meet me. I'll be in Michigan, I think.
Oh, yeah?
No,
oh.
Indiana, excuse
oh, okay.
me. Indiana. Yeah.
Okay.
Near South Bend.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, that's not that far away. We can, yeah. You know, one of these days we'll do a remote or something
yeah.
too. So, okay, I think what we're gonna do now though is we're coming up on the time that we got to do a short little break for us. Stay tuned though. You're listening to Tech Talk on WRLR. We're gonna come back and have Cool Sights of the Week.
Oh, you can't miss that.
No,
can't
no,
miss
no, no.
Cool Sights.
Don't
of the
want.
Week.
And I've got some really good ones, especially for people that have kids. Though, you know, well, I'll talk about it when we come back. But stay tuned. You're listening to WRLR.
WRLR 98.3 FM.
All Custom Electronics Incorporated offers service for all of your audio and video needs. Surround yourself with many audio and video possibilities. Dream a system and All Custom Electronics Incorporated can put it together. They have many brands of equipment available. Their services include installation of in-wall, in-ceiling, surround sound, home theater, and commercial electronic sound systems. Also, multi-room audio, video, and low-voltage systems. All Custom Electronics Incorporated is a proud sponsor of WRLR and assisted with the design and building of WRLR studios. They have over 14 years of experience to help you design and build your dream sound system. All Custom Electronics can be reached at 847-254-1234 or at allcustomelectronics.com.
Hey, Brett.
Hey, what?
What do you get when you cross two musicians, a real late night, and far too many cocktails?
Trick question?
No.
A hangover.
Well, for you, maybe. You get the Sunday stage every Sunday morning from 9 to 11 here on WRLR.
98.3.
There's that kid again.
The Lake County Journals cover what matters most to you. Local news, sports,
weather, and entertainment are in print each week and updated often online at lakecountyjournals.com. You can look to both to find out more about your community and your neighbors. At lakecountyjournals.com, there are interactive videos and photo galleries, or even a place to post your comment about a story. Lake County Journals and lakecountyjournals.com, your life connected.
Houston, what a great view from space today.
From space, you can see a world of possibilities. I'm NASA astronaut Jeff Williams. I spent 6 months on the International Space Station, but something like that used to seem a little out there for me. So if a kid from a tiny Wisconsin town can grow up to reach those heights, who knows what's possible? What's your kid's vision? Imagination and education can take them anywhere. Learn more at NASA.gov and encourage them to stock up on math and science, because America needs them to be the innovators and explorers of tomorrow.
Oh, hey, here we go. Here we go. Man, almost forgot there. We actually were coming back. Okay.
How can you forget we're coming back?
Well, it's just so warm in here. My brain is melting today. It's insane, this October weather.
That's creative energy in your gray matter.
Is that, okay.
Causing friction.
I'll take it. I'll take it. Oh man, I told Dave I was gonna tell him an anecdote about my life this last couple of weeks that I thought was kind of funny. But I'll share it on air here. I'll try to make it as quick as possible. I'm taking classes for an MBA right now, and one of the classes we have to take is this called Executive Success Skills, which is basically is public speaking with a little bit of business writing thrown in. And we just had this one class last...
Did they mention anything about ending your speech on time or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, we've had some of those. Those have been the tough ones. He actually brings in this giant clock that goes for 5 minutes. And if you go over, you lose points immediately. It goes... Arr!
So you're failing then.
Well, I'm doing just fine.
Yeah,
it's doing okay. But the funny one was this most recent one we had to do is we came in, he handed us a news article about something that he didn't think that we would know anything about, and we would go in another room for about 3-4 minutes or so, and then have to come in and give a presentation not on what the article said, but on what the article meant and all this, and try to be, you know, engaging and you know, blah blah blah, all this other good stuff.
Blah blah blah.
Yeah, as you can tell, I'm pretty good.
Yeah, you're really good at it.
Well, that was the thing though, is it turned out it was about something I knew absolutely nothing about. It was about TARP, you know, the troubled acid relief. The only reason I know what it means is because of this article he gave me, and I feel a little bit guilty. I should know more about what's happening with the banks.
TARP is a government program to help restore financial institutions.
That's exactly right. And we're starting to pay some of this money back, and the big banks are doing well, and the little banks aren't doing so well, trying to pay the money back. Yeah. So I didn't know anything about this before then. I came back, and I don't even know what I said, but I spent about 3.5-4 minutes talking about and making stuff up about what I had read, because I didn't know anything about it. It did great. People were extremely pleased. And I told them, I said, I have to admit, I've got a bit of an advantage with this impromptu speech, trying to take, you know, 2 minutes of preparation and stretch it out. It's basically what I do every week on air, is trying to pretend like I know what the hell I'm talking about.
Michael, you do know what you're talking about. You really do. I mean, people get the wrong idea that that information might not be accurate that you're presenting, and that's not true at all. You're very accurate and very very knowledgeable.
With the tech stuff, I try to hit it, but don't ask me about TARP. I had to go back and watch the tape to realize what I had said, and but it was just funny. I thought it was amusing anyways. It's like, yeah, of course I did well on that. That's what I do every single week. I come on here. I've read these articles. I've spent about 30 seconds looking at what the latest on Marxism Zuckerberg is, and then try to stretch that out for an hour.
Yeah. Well, you were getting back into the swing of school and wanted to take a bit of a marshmallow course. And you found it, and it sounds like you're excited about it. That's a good thing.
It's been a great class. I've really enjoyed it, and I have learned some things, and I've picked some things up, which going into it, I had a big head, and I thought, this is a breeze, you know, with my radio background and all this. This is not going to be a problem. I've been over all this. And that wasn't true. It's been very good for me. So
yeah, you know, there's different perspectives for presentations that are valuable, that can add facets to whatever you're doing. And how big is this clock that they have?
It's a dark room clock. If you've ever seen one of those dark room clocks, they're big square.
We've got to get one of those. Yeah.
Yeah. Would be good for here, wouldn't it?
With an electric charge, you know, fastened to your chair or something.
It certainly wouldn't hurt us. Yeah. Oh man. But anyways, I guess what we should do is get right on into
sit back,
cool
relax.
Sights of the week. Now, last week...
Have a cool beverage.
Last week, I had a couple of sites. One of them in particular was for kids. It was Job Chart. And I've gotten a bunch of feedback from people that they really appreciated the... MyJobChart.com was the cool site of the week last week, and it was specifically for how to teach kids to do work and things. So I've got a couple more this week that I thought would be great for kids. Really, really good stuff. Or at least one or two, anyways. And I've got so many all the time. I just don't even know what to do with them all. the first one here, if you really are into teaching kids, whether you're a homeschooler, you're a teacher, you just want to do this maybe for yourself, who knows? But really cool. It's Quizinator, Quizinator.com, Quizinator.com, and it's exactly what it sounds like. It's an online place that you can create quizzes and then give them to kids or to adults or anybody you want to, and it'll return the results and all this. It's a little bit like some of those survey. Websites, SurveyMonkey.
Years ago, when I took a course, the teacher employed something like that. I think his was homemade, mm-hmm. or made from a very crude template or whatever. But I remember liking that a lot back 10 years ago, or whatever it was, 15 years ago.
It can be a lot of fun, and there's other ways to do it. I mean, you mentioned you can do homemade Google Docs. If you can set up really easy these a Google Docs spreadsheet form and what'll ha- or a form a Google Docs form and then distribute that to people, and it's a way they can answer questions, and then the answers are placed automatically into a Google spreadsheet for you, and that's a real quick and dirty way to create a form if you don't care what it looks like too
for
much.
Me that I'm not crazy about homework type stuff, and that made it less than painless to have it in that form. Format to go online and answer questions. Well, it was more fun. It was more like a video game.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what it is for my kids too. Is this my job chart thing last week? We've been using it for several weeks now. It's the first system we've had that they're consistent with. They love it. They go online. They can send messages to my wife and I and see where their points are at, what points they need for the day. And because it's on the computer, if it was on a sheet of paper on the wall, it would do exactly the same thing, but they would never look at it. But because they have to go log into it on the computer, it's got this whole aura of coolness and video game kind of thing associated with it.
Well, just in general, as creatures, as human beings, it seems like moving light, we just can't resist it. It's like, it doesn't even have to be a story or anything. I mean, just moving light. Any moving light will like look at for at least a little while.
And I think too, the instant gratification of the, oh, I did the dishes, bang, I got 10 points.
Yeah. Oh, that's very cool.
So yeah, they like that.
It's a good way to frame it as well.
Yeah. So Quizinator though, if you're looking to give actual quizzes out to people, there's also too, this is very cool. If you've got kids that play chess, or if you play chess, I don't know. I don't know if there's a requirement or not, but it claims that it's 100% safe, free online chess for kids. It's called chesskid.com. You can set it up as a parent. You go in and sign up your children, and then your children can go on and they can play. It's for coaches too. So if you've got a little chess program, and the thing is that they try to limit and vet it to make sure that it's not a bunch of adults on there that, you know, get their jollies from beating kids. You know, they set you at the right age level, the right ability level. They have a little internal rating system that they use to make sure you're being challenged by who you're playing against and all this. And it's about having fun, and there's not a lot of chat built into it like there is on some of the other adult focused chess groups, and there's also a lot of places to learn on there. So if you've got kids that are doing chess, that's a really great place to go, and that's called chesskid.com. It's very cool.
Hey, speaking of that sort of thing, there's something I've been meaning to talk to you about for years. Years ago, I think it was, we found free games. We had somebody on that was recommending free games, and we went through, what's the encyclopedia, the online?
Wikipedia.
Wikipedia.
Yes.
If you go to the free games in Wikipedia, there's some free games you can download. And one of them was a backgammon game that I downloaded. And this game has driven me to tears more than once. I'm absolutely sure that it cheats. I mean, I'm not even sure if it's still there or whatever. And I haven't even touched it for a while. But I'm actually a pretty good backgammon player. And I have a pretty good sense of what the odds are and how to play. This thing would just, you would have a certain victory. You know, you'd be gloating and it would just beat you. And I just kind of struggled in silence. I kept meaning to talk to you about it and meant to do more research to find out if the software actually does cheat or whatever, but it certainly seems to.
Yeah, I've run across a few games like that as well, and I've often wondered, it's like, it'd be so easy to throw into the algorithm, you know, a little nudge here or there. And
It's a great way to improve the impression that the game makes.
Yes.
Right? If the game is not that well written, well, if you just fudge the odds a little bit on the dice rolls, then, you know, but actually tears. I mean, it's actually made me cry a couple of times. You gotta be kidding me, kid. So anyway, so I don't even know if it's still there, if you want to have some fun or not. Download this backgammon game from Wikipedia.
Well, and that Wikipedia site
is
still out there. If you go to techtalk.wrlr.fm, we have a page up there of all of the old cool sites of the week. You'll have to hunt a little bit through it, but it does list them all. Or if you're real familiar with Delicious, that's where I save them all. If you go to the delicious.com/mcastler/ and then the tag for these, the ones that we've used on air, is Cool Site Used. So just look them up under Cool Site Used, and you can find them there and search even further down in there. I've got another one for kids. Now, this is maybe for a little bit older kids, but it's called, this is a great name for an app, Wearoscope. And it's called Wearoscope. Wearoscope, yeah. So if your kids have iPhones, if you're one of those guys, you got an iPhone for your kid, he's probably a teenager at this point, right?
Oh, man.
You can throw this on there. It will use the GPS to identify for you at home exactly where your kids are. And you can say, I only want them going in this certain range, this area, and it alerts you. I think we've seen similar ones to this in the past, but this one is really neat stuff. I do not have an iPhone, and I do not have a teenage child, so I don't know how useful this is, but it's got real-time, simple feedback about where your kids are. And so you can give them a call, and they tell you they're at the mall, and you can see that they're at...
I don't know. Being a kid's not as... What was that? What was that about surveillance? So you guys, what was the term you used? Pervasive surveillance.
Oh yeah, the ubiquitous.
Ubiquitous. No, that wasn't the word. It was annoying, I think. No. Irritating. No, that wasn't the word either.
We do live in a panopticon now. Yeah. That's a term that's been around since the 1800s. Actually, panopticon was there was an English architect who presented an idea that you would have a either an insane asylum, I think it was a prison actually, you would create a prison that you would be able from a central location to see all of the cells and every single individual in it and what they were doing. And this is prior to electronics and all this.
It was just a matter of angles.
So it was a matter of angles and space and observation in all this. And so that term is being used that we now live in a virtual panopticon because of the video cameras and surveillance equipment and all this other stuff. And apps like Weroscope, which, if you're a kid, you can't get away with anything anymore. My dad used to say you got to get up pretty early in the morning to pull one over on me. And nowadays it's you got to be really tricky as a kid to get away with anything.
I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah, probably with my kids. Yeah, it's definitely a good thing. they already, at 8, they're trying to get away with too much stuff as it is. I guess we'll leave it at that. That's probably pretty good for some cool sites for the week. Next week.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, next week I'm going to have some more adult, I don't want to say they're adult websites. Grown-up websites. Yeah, they're websites for grown-ups. We'll have that going on. Thank you, Dave, for saving me from that.
Yeah, that grown-up sounds a lot more interesting, innocent rather than adult.
Yes. Oh, man. I'm gonna give us. I'll leave. This is not the kind of song you normally hear from me, but I'll throw this on anyway. I actually like it. It's called "Fluffy Clouds of Joy" by the Bumblebees. And
great.
It's not as saccharine as it sounds. Now, you were gonna say something though before.
No. Oh, I was gonna say. Do you have some music?
As a matter of fact, I do. It's called, I'm so glad you asked, Dave. It's called Fluffy Clouds of Joy by the Bumblebees. Yeah. So I'm going to leave you on that. That's going to be the podcast only song of the week. But if you're listening live, you're probably going to hear quite a bit of it too, because I know that it's safe for airplay. So special bonus to those listening today. Thank you so much to everybody that did come and join us. And a special thanks to Dave Sanaki, Sparky Sanaki, who came on and joined us today, which was great.
You're most welcome. Yeah.
So stay tuned for other great stuff on RLR. Make sure you tune into us next week. And as always, just go to techtalk.wrlr.fm. You get all the info on the show.
It was great to be here. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Take care.